Have you ever heard a New Yorker say killing babies is moral because it's practical? Let's talk about how we can respond. Chem debrief with us. Hey, y'all. I'm Lexi, and I'm your host.
I'm Ethan, and I'm sorry, Seth, but I think I have completely run out of new guy versus old guy comparisons.
So I am Seth, and I'm the old guy. There we go.
Okay, yeah, we'll just go with that. Yeah.
Something new, something old. But you're not old, Seth.
No, okay, but in the sense of, like, create equal.
Sure, yeah. Sure, sure. So today is a special episode because everybody has to go around and use their best New Yorker accent.
No, I can't.
Not do that.
Please. Anyways, if you can, like, do a good New Yorker accent, please DM us on Instagram and let us know. Just send a little audio thing of yourself saying,
yes,
I'm
please
from New
do.
York.
That would be really fun.
That'd be fun. We cannot do New Yorker accents, but this video or this clip was taken whenever we were in New York City last spring or something like that. I can't even remember, but we were outside of Columbia University and, or is it University of Columbia?
I think it's Columbia University.
Columbia University. And this is actually not a college student, but she's, you know, just walking by. And it's an older lady and she is in support of abortion big time. And so,
big time. Okay.
Yes, I believe she's talking to Liz Beth. Okay. Who is there? But let's play the clip.
What is your reason for 13 weeks being the point?
For practical reasons. We can't say something is moral if it's not practical, if it can't be done. Okay. I don't want women having their high school education, college education, or graduate school education interrupted because we're on the baby track. I want a world where we can intellectually and in all other ways compete with men in ways that are good. And I think this is the basis of our second-class citizenship, the fact that nature is so unfair to us in this situation. But when it starts to look and act too much like a baby, I agree with you. I think it's an imposition on the doctors and nurses to have to destroy it. And what I would like is to create a context of support so that past that point, women don't have to be afraid of losing their jobs, dropping out of school. There is no context for supporting them. We can't stop something when it's going to create a whole bunch of new, very, very compelling problems, and that's what the stalemate is from my point of view. Anyway,
are you saying that we need to be able to kill our children to be equal with men, though?
I don't think that's a child. I agree with Garrett Hardin, the biologist, when he said that's like confusing a set of blueprints with a building. I don't think that's anything.
I mean, virtually all embryologists agree that human life begins at the moment of fertilization.
I agree with that, but I accept the killing up to that point.
So it is killing a human.
Yes, it is. Okay, yes, it is. But
so what I was asking is, why do we have to have the right to kill our children to be equal with men?
I don't accept the idea that those are children.
So she accepts it as killing, she just doesn't understand who it's killing. Killing what exactly would be my question to that.
I'm just glad we didn't try bad New York accents because she had a real accent.
Yeah.
I mean, subtle, but it was subtle, there. Like, yeah, so subtle. I would have been really embarrassed if I had tried.
I still would have liked to hear it. Anyways, so she did seem to, like, you know, you have the idea of who a New Yorker is. They're kind of tough. They're kind of, you know, super, I don't know, not emotional. Like, I feel like they're, you know,
no,
like
very, like,
opinionated.
To the point.
Also, like, yeah, like, get it done. Like,
it
you
done.
Know.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's
and I think it's just really
a New York minute, you know? Like,
yes.
Things are moving so quickly, fast. Yeah. You don't have a lot of time to, like,
you don't
really
have
reflect.
Time to think about anybody. You just got to get done what you got to get done. And so I think her stance on abortion kind of goes with that same, you know, idea that, okay, if it's practical, then it's moral, right? We can't really think about it too much. If it's what we need to do to have our education, that's what I want is an education. We have to kill the baby. And that's how we're going to think about it. So my question for you, Ethan, if something is practical, does that make it therefore immoral?
That blows my mind. I couldn't stop just thinking back to what she said. If it's not practical, then it's not moral to do, basically. That's crazy. So, you know, I'm sure some of our listeners are familiar with the Nuremberg trials. The Nuremberg trials, that's when we tried Nazi leaders after World War II for their war crimes. And there's a great book on the Nuremberg trials that I read, and the Nuremberg trials were not practical to do in any sense of the word. It was a huge effort to put together. It was, you know, not practical for many people to attend. But does that mean we shouldn't have done it? No, we do things that aren't practical to serve out justice to protect people because it is good and moral to do those things, not because they're impractical. When did something becoming impractical suddenly determine what's right and wrong? I can't get that through my brain. Like, I don't understand that at all.
Your mind is blown right now. Yeah.
Well, this is, I think, I mean, so New York represents, it's a picture of America to the world, right? And yeah. New York is very pragmatic, and America is very pragmatic.
That's true.
So pragmatism being the idea of essentially you do what works, right? Mm-hmm. And I do think it's interesting, though, when her worldview, like, it's like not a scratch a sniff sticker where you could just, like, on the top get the surface it really quickly. Like, yeah. When you dig down beneath it, she was starting to suggest that It's not merely the idea of, like, my life would be impractical. She sees a lot of moral terms. Like, if we take abortion away from women, suddenly we are going to put so many difficulties in their path that we make them second-class citizens to men. And so whether you use the word impractical or, like, undue burdens, like, that's her problem, right? That we're going to make women's lives so hard, and that is what she does not want to happen.
Mm-hmm. So again, it's like looking at one person and the practicality for that one person, but then completely neglecting the other. And that's right. Why she can't even admit that they're a child before 13 weeks.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Just one more point than what Ethan was saying that I just clarified before we move on is just that it is so important to keep those categories Ethan was talking about separately. Moral, what you should do. Practical, what can you do, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like the old Jurassic Park thing that Ian Malcolm on the is saying, like, you know, you just those, I'm sorry, Lexi, don't care about Jurassic Park.
No, but no, idea, no, like, about it.
They made dinosaurs just because they could, not because they thought about whether or not they should, right? Oh. These are different categories that matter. Should we do something that's not the same as can we?
Can we do it? Yeah. And what I want to ask her is, why are you drawing the line at 13 weeks?
Yeah, like, right.
If it's practical, what if it's real practical? Like, okay, somebody has a big event coming up. Say they're a celebrity, right? And they just get casted for a movie and they have to start filming the next week, but they're 20 weeks pregnant. They're visibly pregnant. Yeah. They need that baby gone so that they can get the role that they want to get. That would be super practical to have an abortion in that instance if you're just looking at yourself. Right. So would that be justified just because it's practical? Or what's your 13-week mark? Like, why did she pick that?
Well, you run into all sorts of these moral dilemmas then, because there are lots of things that are practical to do to solve a problem but are not moral to do.
Yeah.
Practically, with the foster care system, and, you know, it costs a lot of money to support that system. That system does not work very well. What's the most practical thing to do? Kill everybody in the foster care system. Quick, easy, and probably cheap. But is that moral to do?
No way.
No, not at all. So we don't even entertain the idea of killing people just because it's practical. We look to do the most moral thing to solve that problem.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's, but then she kept saying, she saw them as humans after 13 weeks.
I know,
right?
What?
So, like, that's why you see that even for her, like, practical is not the end all be all. The real problem, like, for so many people, it's not like, what is your principle? It's you do not see these humans as humans.
Yeah.
Right? And Elizabeth tried to push her on that, which I think is did a really good job, but she didn't answer. She quoted Garrett Hardin, and I really wish I could look him up right now. As you know, I don't have access to my phone right now, so I can't look him up. But later, maybe we will. She referenced one biologist compared with Elizabeth referencing the overwhelming consensus today. There are over 5,000 biologists from over 1,000 institutions interviewed by Stephen Andrew Jacobs, and 96% said life begins at fertilization, right? So you can cherry pick one person. This has happened before. A lot of people refer to Clifford Grobstein, who said that, you know, he casted a question on when life begins. He was a frog biologist, not a human biologist, right? So it matters what kind of science are you doing.
Yes.
We can always find one or two here who might support our side. This individual was very confident in her moral views, but really squishy on her scientific categories for understanding the application of those moral views.
And I think she, like, and I don't even know, maybe the person who she was quoting, maybe you know who that is. Do you know who that is?
I don't know Garrett Hardin. No,
okay,
I'll look him up.
Because she said, like, his quote was basically saying a human embryo is a human being or is a child is like saying a blueprint is a building. And so even that doesn't really make any sense, right? But that's not even, I guess, like giving any evidence. Again, that's not giving evidence that the embryo isn't a human being.
Yeah.
And that she understands they're living. She understands, I would say she'd probably even go so far as saying, yes, they're a living human being. Seth is going typing on the little iPad and making sounds on here. Seth, you can't look it up right now. But anyway, she's not even trying to give any evidence against the case that they are living human beings. She's just saying they're not children. So just to make her point a little bit clearer, to make her point, oh, Seth, you can't do it.
I really don't know who this guy is.
He wants to know. We'll look him up right after. And if we find anything really interesting, we'll put it in the show notes for y'all. But anyways, moving on from that, again, we can find anything. We can really justify anything in the practicality for at least one person. We can't necessarily, killing the babies in the womb isn't practical for the babies, but maybe for their moms at some points or something like that. But we have to think about everybody. It's really interesting. She's saying that women need to have abortions because if we don't, we'll become second-class citizens all over again. Mm-hmm. What's your response, Ethan?
Lexi, it wasn't even that. In there, I don't know if you guys heard this, she said that, like, nature
has made,
because of nature, women are second-class citizens. So she sees women fundamentally as being second-class citizens to men because of how women are designed and how their bodies function.
How do you feel about that as a woman?
I think that's the most hilarious, terrible thing. I think it's funny just because it's so bad. Like, excuse me, it's because this entire worldview of, okay, if you don't have your really great career, if you're not going to the top of the line school, then you know what, you've failed in life. And if you're stopped by having a child, okay, then you are a loser. Okay, you are beneath me who I have a career. I have all these, you know, achievements when you don't even look at a child. Literally birthing a child as an achievement. I'd say that's pretty big. And so it's a completely low view of even just like the function of women.
Yeah.
So let's lay these two issues side by side. So you have this New Yorker who is saying that she is all opposed to abortion being illegal because of women. But she says that women are by nature not equal to men.
Uh-huh.
You have the Christian worldview, the anti-abortion worldview, saying women are by nature equal to men. Which one is a higher view of women?
Exactly. No.
Right. It's not that hard.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big deal, right? So she says this is the stalemate. She cannot get beyond this, right?
I know.
But she has created in her mind, she has accepted a view of women that is so deeply cynical and one that must be corrected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is okay, so Everett, you have to go against your own nature as a woman if you want to be equal to men. That's literally what she's saying. You have to change either biology. You have to either, you know, get your uterus removed or something if you don't want to even have the possibility of getting pregnant. You have to literally mutilate your body or kill your child if you do become pregnant, just so that you can be on the same playing field as men. Because, you know, really the only thing in life you can do that's important is getting your job and getting paid. You know, if you're not getting paid to do something, you might as well not do it. It's not worth it. Yeah. No way.
But that again is back to the whole New York pragmatism, America, like economic thing, right? So we have set up this vision of what is a successful person. And to be that, to be successful, you must follow this mold. It's just so it's interesting. We happen to say the man is the version, right? So the man traditionally the one who goes in the breadwinner. And it's a big, long discussion we get into. But anyhow, we're saying to be valuable, women must be like men, right? Yeah. This shows that their view is accepting the idea that men are better. We don't have that view at all. We say who you are designed to be, that's what you should be.
And I just would love to be able to communicate. Let's talk about this. I would love to be able to communicate that quickly or, you know, within a few minutes to especially girls on college campuses who are stuck in this mindset. Hey, I have to act exactly like all my male classmates. I have to do the same things that they're doing, be interested in the same things they're interested in. And if I'm not, then I'm somehow failing. How do you respond to that? This can go either to you, Ethan or Seth. How do you try to explain our worldview? Like, no, you don't actually have to do everything, and also expose their worldview for what it is. And that is a belittlement and undervaluing women and their natural capabilities.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you just need to explain to people, like, especially women, but also men, we are not valuable because of what we do. We are valuable because of who we are. You see this illustrated through the gospel. You know, God didn't save us or offer this gift of salvation because of what we did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says that we were dead in our sins and trespasses, but he offered this gift of salvation because he loved us for who we were.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, we are human beings, not human doings, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is very important. Excellent point, Ethan. I agree with you. And I think also, like, we just, again, I think we have this kind of narrow-minded view of a good life, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. So you must be this influencer or wealthy or whatever, like this whatever it is. We all have this view of this is what you need to be successful in life, and we just reject that because it's like, you know, the eye saying to the foot, because I'm not a foot, I'm not valuable. Well, that's silly. The eye is designed yeah. to be an eyeball, right? To help you see things. You don't want your eye to act as a yeah. foot. So we need to just recognize that whether you're a man or a woman, even men, different men have different roles than other men, and so because of who we are designed to be, and I'm not going to be a great athlete. I'm aware of that, right? So I need to just, instead of trying my whole life to be the best basketball player, accept the fact I'm not going to be, right? And so that is where I'm going to find joy, accepting who I am, yeah. freedom to be who I've been created to be, and not yeah. try to be like the other person. So I think as long as you're stuck in this, you're going to be in a very dark place.
Mm-hmm. And I think, again, we can't even... She was listing off all of the things that, like, all of the degrees you could be getting instead of if you weren't pregnant anymore, if you did get an abortion. One thing is to note here that we haven't said yet, you can go to college and be pregnant. Okay, I don't know if anybody knows this. Or you also can go to college with children. You can go to college if with a full-time job. You can go to college no matter what life stage you're at. So the idea that you literally are incapable of doing anything else when you're pregnant or when you have a baby or something is so false. And I think that, again, just stop undermining women. You don't think that moms can go to school and be smart? You don't think moms can, you know, have a job that they want, you yeah. know? Like, it's just so ridiculous, and it's not based in reality. Again, it's just so false. And if you're having to do something, I know in one other podcast episode, we talked about this, just the effects that abortion has on women. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if you're going to do something that's going to kill your child, first and foremost, that's why abortion's wrong. It's because it's killing an innocent human being. But again, even if you're just thinking about yourself, okay, this is going to be something that lasts with you for the rest of your life. The job you're going to get, the degree you're going to have, that's all going to fade. That's all going to go away. You're yeah. not going to have the same job for the rest of your life. And you know what? At the end of the day, you're going to wake up when you're 80 years old and not care about what job you had. But you want to look around and you want to have family. Do you want to say, hey, I killed off all my family that I could have had?
Right. Not at all.
No. It's going to leave people so sad and so lonely. Yeah. So,
and Lexi, one thing I'd add in there too is, like, one thing we didn't talk about is, because we were addressing her specific concerns, right? But even just stepping aside to what she's asserting here, that if we ban abortion, women will become, I guess, second-class citizens, she's saying. Mm-hmm. We have a really good test case for that right now in America, where states True. Are banning abortion. The question is, in states where abortion is now illegal, are women literally second-class citizens? I don't think that's the case, right?
No.
So we're going to see that she has actually a fallacy in here where it's a slippery slope, I suppose, saying you do this and this is going to happen. Like, next thing will be handmaids, yeah. right? Yeah. Wearing those weird garments, those really weird hats that they're wearing
they're
all the time.
Actually.
It's very terrifying, right? So this is a fallacy. She needs to tell us, again, I know for her, maybe it's not exactly well thought through, but she needs to tell us how she can have certainty that banning abortion will make women second-class citizens. I argue it's not. It's going to give women the opportunity to rise to the challenge of to be who they were made to be by, whether you believe in God or Darwin. I mean, somehow they all believe we either evolved this way or God designed us this way. So this is who we are. Mm-hmm. We are saying embrace who you are and do that well and yeah. live as you should live, not as you think is the only best way to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also maybe you just try to align your beliefs with reality a little bit yeah. more, because just to say that, yes, because even if I say, like, they're the cultural construct or whatever, if she's going to call, like, men going to work like a cultural construct and women, you know, raising children, why are you trying to conform to the person? They're against men a lot of times. But why are you trying to be exactly like a man? If you mm-hmm. think that's so wrong, so evil, obviously it's not wrong to go to work. Please do. As a man, you know, doing those things, that's a great thing to do. But why are you trying to mimic the thing you hate?
So I think that's the question to ask, right? So you have asserted that to be successful, women need to do this. Traditionally, whether it's a construct or by design, traditionally that role has been served by men. So why are you making men the pattern for who we should be?
Yeah.
That seems to be very misogynistic, to make man the goal, right? Right.
And the whole idea, you know, that it's so popular right now, like, be who you are, you know, be who right. you are, be who you want to be. Barbie girl. Do y'all know that? The slogan for Barbie.
Okay, I mean, anyways. I know be all you can be in the army. not the same thing.
Be who you want to be, Barbie girl. Anyways, that's her slogan. Anyways, but it's just like so out there, like, be who you are. Okay, stop literally trying to go against nature by every single point and completely change your life to be somebody you're not. You're not that person. You are somebody who can get pregnant. And if you do get pregnant, you are a mom.
Right.
Nothing can take that away. You can kill your baby, but you're still a mom. You're just a mom of a dead child that you killed. Yeah. So at the end of the day, we can't change nature. We can't change how God designed us. And we can't change reality. So with that being said, I hope that everybody now knows how to respond to somebody who says that morality comes from practicality and push them on that worldview. I know Ethan hates it.
He's cringing over here.
Well, if you haven't already, please go leave us a 5-star review so that more people can hear this episode.
Leave a review in a New York accent.
Yes, please do, y'all. Can you spell out in a New York accent? I don't know how that would look, but please do. That's all we have for y'all this week. And as always, thank you so much for debriefing with us. Let's talk about how to respond to that. Come deep weep with us.